My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
I want to start off by making and giving y'all my framework for how to think about what artificial intelligence is. So first, AI is not just one thing, right? Just like when you think of the word car. Car is not one thing. You can have a two-door car, you could have a four-door car, you could have a sports car, you could have a truck. And even though there are all these, you know, different types of cars, like whether they're electric or whether they're gas, even though they literally end up different in the way that they look, all cars pretty much do the same thing, which is that they get you from point A to point B faster than you would get there if you were walking, right? Unless you're in LA traffic at 4 o'clock. So similarly, artificial intelligence covers a whole bunch of different tools and technology across different disciplines. It touches tools that are being built in computer science, in mathematics, in electrical engineering, in mechanical engineering. But all AI aims to do pretty much the same thing. Artificial intelligence is trying to teach machines how to think and act like humans. So all those different technologies and all those different disciplines are just trying to teach machines how to think and act like humans. Well, what does it mean to think and act like a human? Well, humans have five senses. We have hearing, we have sight, we have touch, we have smell, and we have taste. And artificial intelligence kind of has five domains. So teaching an AI, teaching a machine how to hear and how to speak is called natural language processing. That's what's behind tools like Siri inside of your phone. When you talk to her and she writes the text down, that's called text-to-speech. Then when she understands what you just said to her, that's called natural language understanding. Then when she comes up with a response to you, that's called natural language generation. And then when she reads that response back out loud to you, that's called text-to-speech, right? Where she reads it back out loud to you. So NLP, or natural language processing, is teaching machines how to hear and how to speak. Teaching machines how to see is called computer vision. So if you have a Ring camera in your house and it's like, oh, person detected or animal detected, that's using computer vision. That's also behind stuff like Face ID inside of your phone. When you go to the airport and TSA asks you to stand there and it checks a picture of your face, all of that stuff is computer vision. Teaching a machine how to touch is called haptics. Now, this is a field that you mostly see in robotics, where they're doing things like creating artificial skin that's as sensitive as human skin. Now, why would they need that? Well, think about it. If you have like a robot in an Amazon factory, you want it to be able to understand things like pressure and weight so that when it picks up whatever you ordered off of Amazon that might be fragile, it doesn't pick it up and like shake it around and mishandle it, right? So they need that artificial skin to be able to teach robots how to understand what it is that they're physically touching and grabbing. Then teaching machines how to smell is a pretty new field. It's called machine olfactory. Now, I'm not gonna lie, I don't really like this field because in order to teach the algorithm what a smell is, you got to use like somebody's nose as an example. And I don't know about y'all, but some people, out of the colognes they be picking, the perfumes they be picking, like I don't trust everybody's nose, right? And so machine olfactory is a newer field. We've seen like maybe 10, 20 research papers in this space altogether where they're trying to do stuff like come up with new perfume smells or like detect smoke from a smell, etc. And then teaching machines how to taste doesn't actually have a fancy name, but it has the same problem of kind of like teaching a machine how to smell. Like, I'm not eating at everybody's house, so whose taste buds are you using as the example to like teach these machines how to taste? You feel me?
Definitely got you there. So the five senses and the five domains makes a lot of sense. When people start hearing these things like computer vision, Definitely the smell and the taste, it is subjective. It starts to lead to uncertainty. And one of the things with human nature is that we don't like uncertainty, which then leads to fear. So how can people become less fearful when they hear about AI, and very broken down how you just did it?
So I feel like a lot of the fear is based on the unknown. Like, the human brain generally is wired to protect you from danger, right? Like, the amygdala, which we call the fight or flight part of the brain, is literally the oldest part of the brain. And it's the only part of the brain that can hijack the rest. So if you ever had like a panic attack, that's literally your amygdala hijacking your brain and shutting down all the other different functions in your brain, because it literally thinks that you're dying. And so a huge part of overcoming fear to AI is learning about it, doing things like sitting in this class, taking notes, understanding what the differences between NLP and computer vision, so that you're able to not feel like, because you don't understand it, that it instantly means that it's going to be negative against you. Now, there are real challenges with AI, which we'll probably get into later. But even then, the problems inside of these AI systems with things like bias, or things like them coming for jobs that particularly affect our communities, a lot of that stuff can be solved if we step up in other areas, like in policy, or if we step up in terms of like regulation, or if we step up in terms of building and designing our own systems. And so even the stuff out there that is actually proven to be scary or dangerous to our communities, there are solutions out there that require all of us coming together and putting into play.
Okay. All right. So I know we have the next step, which we're going to talk about how to utilize it in business. Anything you want to talk about before that, before we go to the business side?
Yeah. So before we jump into the business side, I want to give a little bit more context about, you know, how you teach a machine to think and act like a human. So we know that AI is this group of technologies that are trying to do that using this five senses example. Now, generative AI specifically is attempting to teach machines how to think and act like the human imagination. Like, if I ask everybody on the chat right now to imagine a car, you would come up with an image in your head of a car. Some of you guys would imagine a two-door car, a four-door car, a sports car. Some of y'all might even imagine a semi-truck. Now, what I did is I just prompted you to create something from the prompt that I gave you. You're using your human imagination to create something from an idea of it. And so generative AI is teaching machines how to think and act more along the lines of the human imagination. Now, I'm gonna get a little bit technical just so you guys understand some of the differences between the techniques used to build AI and AI itself. So how do you teach a machine how to think and act like a human? Well, that's where the term machine learning comes in. You've probably heard this a lot. Machine learning is the most popular way that people teach machines how to think and act like humans, but it's not the only way or the only method. And machine learning is when you teach a machine, which they call training, how to complete a task by giving it examples, which they call training data, of that task, so that it can learn and improve itself on how to do that task, right? So for example, if I wanted to teach a car how to drive on the road, if it was old school coding without machine learning, I'd have to code every single step that the car needed to do. Well, a lot of those rules are, you know, there's like millions of rules of driving, like to have to code, like if your right tire gets within this many inches of the line, then move the steering wheel, you know, 0.2 centimeters. That's a lot to learn and a lot to code. We probably wouldn't even be able to make an app that would be able to let the car drive like that. It would just take too much code. So instead, with machine learning, we can take a bunch of examples of cars driving on the road. That's why like Teslas have 8 cameras. They're constantly capturing that data. And then let it learn from those examples of things that it should do and things that it shouldn't do. So there are two types of machine learning. The first is called supervised machine learning. And supervised machine learning is when you teach a machine how to complete a task by giving it examples of the right answer up front. So an example of this is like, let's say I wanted to teach a computer vision algorithm to be able to tell the difference between a strawberry and an avocado, right? I would give it examples of images that I knew up front were a strawberry. I would tell it up front that it's a strawberry. We call that data labeling. And then I would check it as it's learning how good it gets at telling me that's a strawberry versus telling me that's an avocado, right? So again, supervised machine learning is, I already know what the right answer is up front. So I'm gonna give you these examples and then I'm gonna test you against how well you're learning how to do the task because I already know the right answer. The second type of AI machine learning is called unsupervised machine learning. And this is when you're training a machine how to complete a task by giving it examples, but you're letting the algorithm itself discover what the right answer is, right? So you're giving it a whole bunch of data and then it goes in and finds patterns across that data that it uses to give you the right answer. So for example, a lot of AI is being used in things like drug discovery. So like, how can we find a new medicine to treat AIDS or to treat diabetes? Or even when COVID came out, there was a whole effort between a bunch of big tech companies to figure out medicines that could be used as a vaccine, right? So in that case, they didn't know the right answer up front, but they had a whole bunch of data and then the machine uncovered patterns that helped them understand what the right answer should be, right? All right, so then you have one more thing, which is called deep learning. So deep learning is basically, without going into all the math behind it, it's a more complex way of doing machine learning when you have things that are more complicated in their patterns. And so it teaches the algorithms in a way that mimics how neurons fire in the human brain. Right. So machine learning, like if I want to tell the difference between a strawberry and an avocado, that's not a very complex task. But like teaching a plane how to fly itself, like the U.S. Air Force just did, is going to require a lot more complex relationships and a lot more complex understanding and nuance inside of that data and the patterns and how it's supposed to do that task. So they would use something like a deep learning algorithm instead to be able to capture that. Now, I know that was a lot of information. I don't expect y'all to have this memorized. So Before we move on to the next part, I made a little TLDR slide for y'all. You know, take a moment, take a screenshot, make sure to share this with your friends. It just recaps what I just covered.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boys Forever Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers powerhouse protection with its stain-blocking, odor-reducing technology. And with Dutch Boys easy-opening, smooth-pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. View our entire selection of Dutch Boy paint on Menards.com. Plus the weekly flyer and other great deals happening now.
Save